Well, as we prepare to hear God's word read today, let's take a moment and pray that the Holy Spirit would open our hearts and minds to the riches of his word this day. Let's pray. Lord God, your word is a light to our path and a lamp unto our feet. Shine the light of your word deep into each of our hearts this day. Use your word to accomplish your purpose. To the glory of your name, we pray. Amen and amen. So our text today comes from Luke chapter 6. It sounds a lot like the Sermon on the Mount, but it's actually a different occasion. Christ had these moments of teaching many times as he walked this earth. Listen now to Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 27. One of the familiar phrases that Christ would always say, "But I say," they would think they'd heard one thing, Jesus would say, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. From one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. Does you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies. Do good. And lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. You will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, will be measured back to you. This is the word of the Lord. Every time I read that, I think of the time I read it in a congregation in which I'm looking at a couple of people, one who owned the local bank. When I read that part about lending, expecting nothing in return, he came to me afterwards and he says, "Well, you can't really mean that." I said, "Bill, you're going to have to argue with our Lord on that one." I think I've shared this with you before. I remember when we got our first high-definition TV. Wow. I mean, it was like going from color from black and white. You remember that? And so I'm watching the Masters golf tournament. And you would think I would be enamored with the golf. Oh, no. I called to Joyce. I said, "Honey, come look at these azaleas. You're not going to believe them." They were incredible. And then the Discovery Channel. Wow. And I'll never forget watching an episode on the Discovery Channel. It was about the migration of salmon. And you know how that works. And they make their way back up the falls one step at a time. And they're working hard. They're working hard. They go all the way back up to get up there to lay their eggs, and this was showing this one salmon, and it was working hard, and just as it got to where you think, wow, life is good, there was a bear up there waiting for that salmon. Sometimes swimming upstream in a downstream world is not easy. And yet I would suggest to you that's exactly what God calls us to do. It's exactly what this sermon embodies in the Sermon on the Mount, or if the Sermon on the Plain, however you want to call the Luke account. It's all about swimming upstream in a downstream world, and it reminds us of the joys and the difficulties of kingdom living. I'm increasingly convinced that the passages about kingdom living speak to us in this day with incredible power. This is a text about what it looks like when God is in control. It's a text about what it looks like when God is in charge of our hearts. The Word of God is clear. The Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He is a king, and He has a kingdom, and that kingdom is in the hearts of each one of His people. This text begs us to ask the question, what does it mean to live a Christian lifestyle in a post-Christian world? What does it mean to live gospel truths in a pluralistic, secularized, post-Christian world? To what extent are Christians really different from other people? Are our faith and our Christian life as obvious to others as Jesus' words suggest that they should be? There's a word here, and I listened to Lynn's sermon, and I know she pointed it out to you last week. There's a word that's used in the Sermon on the Mount, particularly in the Beatitudes, and it's that word blessed. Not a word we use quite often. It's one that we really don't quite understand. But one individual suggests that it could mean to be happy beyond your wildest imagination. I kind of like that. Well, let me ask you, how many of you today want to live and lead a sad, miserable life looking like you've been baptized in lemon juice? Yeah, nobody wants that. But Jesus is talking to us about a life that is blessed, a life in which we're happy beyond our wildest imagination. How many of us want that? Well, that's a different story, isn't it? And the answer to that is a call to swim and live upstream in a downstream world. But I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Swim upstream. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. From the one who takes away your cloak, don't withhold your tunic. To the one that cuts you off in traffic during season in Sarasota, Florida, swim upstream. Give to everyone who begs from you. From the one who takes away your goods, don't demand them back. Swim upstream. As you wish others would do to you, do so to them. Swim upstream in a downstream world. But how is this even possible? Joyce and I last week were in New York City. We went to the 9/11 memorial. I had been there, not to the memorial, but last time I was there were just empty holes there. Now the memorial is complete and the new tower has been built. And so we went through the 9/11 memorial. And I was overwhelmed. Got to be honest with you. Joyce and I had gotten separated. Our daughter was with us, and I sent him a text. I said, I got to go outside. I got to decompress for a little bit. because I was watching that in particular, the video of the second plane hitting the second tower and seeing all of that. And I'm sitting out there on a bench out front near the reflecting pools, and I'm trying to wrap my mind around the hate that leads one person to do that to another. And in the name of religion, and how is that remotely possible? And I knew that today I would be preaching on this text, the call of Christ to love my enemies. And I sat there. And I sat there. And I sat there. And I finally uttered a prayer. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. How do we do it? How's it possible? How can we live like that? I felt overwhelmed and powerless. And I would suggest to you, it is impossible. It's impossible apart the gift of God's grace and the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit inside of us, who enables us and empowers us to live upstream in a downstream world. And I think that's what our Lord is communicating to those that were gathered so long ago in a day so very different from ours, and yet a day not so different from ours. As Jesus was telling his disciples this message, the Romans were in control. They were not kind and gracious conquerors. Love your enemies. Do good. Lend, expecting nothing in return. Then you will be sons of the Most High. Jesus gives to us forgiveness of sins. He gives to us peace with God. He gives to us the joy of fellowship with Him. He gives to us the joy of serving Him. Discipleship leads us to blessings beyond our wildest imagination. Blessed are you when you follow your Lord in swimming upstream in a downstream world. Happy beyond your wildest imagination. And yet there are times, if we are honest, we go through life looking like we've been baptized in lemon juice. Oh, how miserable this thing. No! This is the path to joy beyond our wildest imagination. This was the path that our Lord walked. And you say, yeah, but wasn't there a cross at the end of that? Yes. But there was more. And so we read in the book of Hebrews that Jesus, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. It is a path of joy beyond our wildest imagination when we follow our Lord in the call to swim upstream in a downstream world. How many of you have seen the movie Les Mis? Anybody? Or the play or whatever you've seen about that. You know the story. Well, the story begins, and Victor Hugo begins it with a story of a man by the name of Jean Valjean. He's an ex-con. He's just been released from 19 years in prison for stealing bread to feed his sister's children. As he re-enters society, no one wants to give him any place to stay. No one wants to give him work because, after all, he has a criminal record. That is, until he stumbles into the house of the bishop. And much to Valjean's bewilderment, the bishop treats him with kindness, respect, hospitality, welcomes him unconditionally into his house. And later, the bishop will retire, and Valjean is still there. And as the bishop leaves the room, Valjean sees an opportunity, and he takes the bishop's silver plates And he takes other things that are of value and he steals them and he goes out into the night. A little bit later, the local police come and knock on his door and they've got Valjean with the bishop's silver. And all they need is for the bishop to confirm that, yes, he had stolen it. And when he comes in with that sack, the bishop looks to Jean Valjean and said, "Don't you remember? I gave you the candlesticks as well. Why didn't you take them?" And there was grace that was extended to one who did not deserve grace. Swimming upstream in a downstream world. Can you and I change our world? It's overwhelming, isn't it? Can we bring civility into a day in which civility is sadly, sorely needed? Can we bring respect in a day when we need to respect each other as creatures made in the image of God? Can we change our world? I struggle with that. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can change our part of the world. We can bring that grace to the ones that come across our path. We can bring a presence of love to the one that God brings across our path. We can love. Turn the other cheek. Even when that person cuts you off in traffic. I had someone with a "Honk If You Love Jesus" bumper sticker cut me off. I thought, well, I'm going to honk. I love Jesus. So I gave a honk and a wave, and you know what happened? Yeah, I got Mr. Digit hand puppet. And I thought, where's the love? Where's the love? Loving even our enemies. Turning the cheek. It's hard, yes. Foolhardy? Probably. Is it the path that Christ calls us to? Yes. He calls us to be kingdom people. When Christ eats with Zacchaeus, when he forgives and empowers the woman at the well, when he breaks bread with Judas, and when he gives authority to faithless Peter, Jesus gives to them and to us grace. As the choir sang, "Amazing grace." And then Jesus says, "Now you do the same thing. Take the risk. Make the decision to give that grace, to love even our enemies, to turn the other cheek." Can we change the world? It's an overwhelming task. Can we change our corner of the world? By the grace of God and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. May God give us the wisdom to do that as we go about our weeks this week. Let us pray. Father, we lift our hearts to you and pray that you will continue to teach us what it is to live upstream in a downstream world. You've called us to be salt and light. Teach us to live as children of your kingdom. To the glory of your name, we pray. Amen. I would invite you to stand and join me as we affirm our faith. Today we're going to use the confession from the United Church of Canada. So, Christian, let me ask you, what is it that you believe? We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope in life and in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Maybe.